Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And do tell us, Bill, do we have a sponsor this
hour? Yes, we do. Our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery carries everything there is in small ag and turf products. Go by and see them if you need Honda generators. That time of the year is coming around. They have a great stock of Honda as well, and they are soon to be the largest steel dealer in the area. So lots going on down there. Go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the phone at 226-9226 or on the web at papemachinery.com.
P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E.
There you go.
There you are.
So we're having a part two show today. Today is March 8th, 2020. Kind of an auspicious day. We've all lost an hour of sleep, which you'll notice that right away if you haven't already. So let's see. We lose an hour of sleep this week. There's a full moon this week, and Friday is Friday the 13th.
Yeah, be careful out there.
So, you know, I mean, barring a meteor strike, I think we pretty much like covered all the potential things. Well, and then we have the, you know, the coronavirus. So on a lighter note about the virus, since we're going to talk serious about it, my sister teaches elementary school, and she had a little girl in her class. And she
this is really sad.
She wanted to talk to her out in the hallway. She's got this really, like, sad face on, and she goes, I really need to talk to you in the hallway. And so my sister goes out there and says, you know, what's going on? And the kid goes, I have to tell my mom something really, really sad, and I don't know how to do it. And she's like, really sad? I mean, how sad could it be? The kid's in fourth grade. She goes, no, I've got to tell her something really. She's going to be really sad when I tell her. So they go through this whole thing, and she's like, you can tell me. You know, what is it? And the little girl says, I've got the corona. And my sister's like trying not to laugh because the kid's really broken up about it. She's like, you've got the corona? What does that mean? She goes, it's the sickness. She goes, how do you know that, sweetie? My brother told me this morning on the way to school.
Big brothers are good for
so while adults are worrying, children are tormenting their siblings with the corona.
The corona.
Oh, my gosh. So that's the only fun thing we're going to tell you today, I guess. Pretty much the end of it. Fun is over. We are moving on to Beyond the Coronavirus Part 2 with Dr. Shizong Chen and Eureka Young. You can find all this information and the previous shows, actually, at wethepeopleradio.us. I would encourage you to go and listen to the shows we've done on China, because a lot of that information makes sense of what we're seeing now. We had no idea, like, whatever, 14 months ago or so, that we would be, you know, having an outbreak of a virus that started in China. But it's interesting. In order to understand the lack of transparency and all the different things that are going on, you really need to listen to the previous shows. We've had a handful of guests that are basically all people who grew up in China, who some thought that the Chinese Communist Party that, you know, ran the place was great. They had no idea there were any problems. Totally grew up in the propaganda bubble, came here and thought, what? The stories are interesting, and I think you'll learn a whole lot. So you can find that under the China tab at wethepeopleradio.us. So, not to belabor, here we go. Our guest, Dr. Chen, has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China. And then I want to just skip to the bottom. I have his whole bio on here so you can find out all the interesting things he has done. He was born in China in 1962, and at the age of 15, he entered the gifted program at China University in science technology. Came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and received his PhD in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego.
I hope we'll have time to get into that a little bit.
So you can brush up on your microbiology.
One of my favorite topics.
Yeah, me too. I'm totally looking forward to it. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So the good news is you don't have to be a science expert to listen to this show. We just find science experts to come on and tell us what they know by way of shortcutting. And our other guest, Mr. Yurvika Young, came to the United States from China as a college student in 1988, attended Eastern Michigan University in a small town 10 miles east of Ann Arbor. And since 2012, Mr. Young has provided research, analysis, and other services to private investors and not-for-profit organizations covering macroeconomic and geopolitical topics in U.S.-China relations. So these guys are definitely experts on how the U.S. and China all fit together, and I think it's our Skype connection that's hearing every ping and ding in there. We have, we have Yurvika Young on the phone, and we have Dr. Chen on Skype so that they can hear each other, but sometimes we get some other sounds, so enjoy the sound effects, and we'll move forward. All right, guys, where do you want to start?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, how's it going? Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
I like the Verizon commercial, that annoying man. Can you hear me now?
So where would you like to start today?
Well, just like to continue from last week.
All right.
Sure, that's great.
Yeah, so now there are lots of new infections around the world with new countries. But communists must have figured out a magic, and their number are down, and so it started to rebrand itself as a world leader in fighting coronavirus. Now has even gone aggressive, demanding the world to be thankful for it having sacrifice the whole province to earn the world valuable time to fight this disease. Have you heard of those?
No, is that the message now?
That's a great angle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look what we've done for you lately.
Maybe it's just in Chinese, but I read it. That's what I got, and so this is the first thing I want to let you know. Great news.
Yeah. Great news, yeah. I forgot. I told people this might not be a happy show.
Yeah,
but
great news as long as you don't live there, because you are the sacrifice. That's great.
Before we forget, can I ask you about the hotel that collapsed where all these patients are being housed? How do you collapse a hotel?
CIA did it.
Oh.
Oh, of course.
Must be. No, I mean, look, what I want to start out today is I want to ask a serious question for the world to think. It's, of course, understandable. We're all for it, that the whole world is hoping for a speedy end to this terrible pandemic. By the way, WHO still refuses to use the term, and we should I think we should spend a segment of time to discuss that. But anyway, so the world wish a speedy end to this pandemic. Now let's assume that somehow it just did. Right? Somehow this coronavirus just disappeared, like the SARS did in 2003. Then what? The world should think about that question seriously. Then what? Will the world repeat what it did in 2003 and then be complacent and wait for another 2019? And this is the question that I think we should discuss or for the people to think about that question. Mm-hmm. Because if we do not think deep and ask this question, if this pandemic, which has already caused astronomical life and financial losses, if we cannot wake up from this, we're in for another disaster. If we can survive. And so I think this is the most urgent time and also best time for the world to get together to end this, you know, evil CCP. And this is what I want to start with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's perfect. Let's take a really quick break here, and so we don't have to interrupt you partway through. You are listening to We the People. We are discussing the coronavirus basically everywhere. I was going to say in China, but not really. We're going to look at the what's happening with China and how that affects the rest of us and the spread of this and our ability to fix it, actually. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my
all right, Dr. Chen, let's talk about the Chinese Hi. Communist Party and all their shenanigans.
Yeah. So, well, let's tackle an easier problem first. The CCP, it's supposedly a sovereign country and, you know, has nuclear power. So we'll, it's harder to deal with. But I would like to start off with an easier one, I think. The world needs to get together and solve the WHO problem first. I mean, this is a pandemic. It threatens the whole world. And it's time for the world to get together instead of us being individual countries and get together and for the world's people get together. Think as a world problem. And WHO is a world problem. Maybe I'm too unforgiven, or I just cannot think of one single right thing that the WHO have done positively helping the world in this current pandemic. And so if it hasn't done one thing right, why do we need it? Yesterday I saw, WHO thanking China, giving 20 million, for WHO. China, WHO should put that money right back to China for China and asking Chinese government to spend those money to help its own people. And, I really think it's unethical for WHO even to take that money and thank, you know, China for that. In addition, right, WHO has, been mouthpiece of the CCP, misled the world and now continue to mislead the world and helping to broadcast the CCP's message, promoting CCP's model. And can you believe it? WHO is promoting the CCP's model of fighting this pandemic.
Well, you were telling us last week that a couple of people, that are on the, World Health Organization are members of the CPP. Is that correct?
The former director, yes, Eureka mentioned that Margaret Chan from Hong Kong is WHO's director, I mean general director, for 10 years, from 2007 to 2017. And the current one is, recommended by Margaret Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think listeners or whoever around the world, now we should start a grassroots thing or whatever, we'll make it happen, to ask our own government to ditch the WHO. WHO has done nothing good. Some people call it Wuhan Organization. I call it right now World Health Organization. We should ditch that. We need right now a independent international health organization and start an independent investigation demanding China to open its data, its truth, its original samples for the world to figure out what is going on, because it's right now it's too big. This pandemic is too damn dangerous, and the world's people, the world's government, owe it to themselves to take action, to take a joint action, to circumvent roadblocks such as WHO, and should demand a accountability from the Chinese government. If it refuses to be accountable, then the world needs to take action to abolish that government, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The world's people and the world's government needs to do that.
Yeah, first there's the China model for economic growth, which last time I believe Aaron and Bill toward the end of the program brought up, which was like based upon like part of sweatshop and even with ingredients of prison labor. And it involves like environmental deprivation, and it is not sustainable. Now there is WHO is promoting this China model for fighting the coronavirus. It is particularly dangerous. I went to college for 3 years in China, so I have schoolmates, alumni, both in China and here. And the news, the model that the Communist Party promoted is now promoting the China model of locking down people, of suspending all the public transportation, of locking people up in their buildings. This model gave Chinese people, some of my schoolmates, they are fairly accomplished people. Some are like, some teach in universities, some are successful business person. They thought that out of kindness toward other schoolmates who immigrated to the West, they felt China is so safe. Their city got zero, their whole province has zero new cases found, while the U.S. number is like going climbing, I think, to the 400, hundreds, and several European countries has broken like 1,000 mark. So they're out of their kindness and concern, they said, come to China, come back from overseas. So this is how bad the Communist Party has brainwashed, through disinformation, brainwashed the entire country. And that this is why particularly dangerous this China model is.
So let me ask you this. As far as the corona is concerned, can you tell us, we have the flu every year in this country. I think right now close to 20,000 people have died from the flu, and we're looking at, 11 or something right now with the coronavirus. Is this more dangerous than the common flu in terms of, just the sheer numbers of people that are infected and you know, maybe the rate of transmission, is that higher or faster or worse than the common flu?
Yeah, I'll put in a common sense answer and hand over to Dr. Chen. He has a molecular background. Basically, for a flu, there is a vaccine usually, and for a coronavirus, its source is very suspicious, and people do not know. And although it appears that after several times of a transmission between humans, the fatality, its danger would probably reduce. So that is, as far as I can tell. Dr. Chen?
So there are several aspects making this coronavirus more dangerous than flu and even to other viruses. And so the, the death rate, the infectivity or, the RO, those are, some of the regular concept that people can use, to describe other disease, other viruses. But this particular one has something that doctors and scientists are far from understanding. For example, the frequent relapse in recovered patients. This is very strange. For viruses, usually, now this is still, the data is still, that's why it's very important to get the real data. And this data, we don't know how to understand it, but from virologist's point of view or from biologist's point of view, until you have, medicine, right now there isn't available yet, but until you have medicine to suppress replication or growth of a virus, the only effective way for our human to fight this disease is our immune system. So from that perspective, once you have recovered from a virus, you usually will have a lifelong immunity against it. So it usually wouldn't happen. Relapse wouldn't happen. But
right.
Now there's many cases of relapses in recovered patients. That is puzzling. Unexplainable.
Didn't think about that part.
Yeah, that's something that is kind of hitting the news here recently. Is there's, I guess, quite a few cases now being reported of people that have recovered and now are relapsing. We'll talk about that. We have to take a quick break, but let's stay on that for a couple of minutes, and maybe we can explain why that's happening.
I also want to know. A lot of times, everyone gets these flu shots, and then later, the recap is, oh, and by the way, the flu shot this year didn't have this was for the wrong flu. So I guess I'm kind of curious if the flu shot is really doing anything. I've always wondered about that.
No, you're kind of a flu shot hater, but
I am kind of a flu shot hater.
That's all right.
it makes me want to itch my face every time I talk about it. You're not supposed to touch our skin.
Just don't lick your finger.
Yeah. Bill's touching my pen now. He's got it over there on his side with his hand sanitizer.
Sovereign on it.
It's bad. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What the games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da da. Talking about you and me. I don't want to live no more. I don't want to stay here. Ain't gonna spend the rest of my life quietly fading away. Yeah. Give me more play. You take it all you need.
Give us the 411 on flu shots.
So are the flu shots effective? And I know there's no flu shot for the coronavirus, but with the sheer numbers of people catching the regular flu, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking maybe at this point in time it's more dangerous, but if there's no shot for the corona and you can get it again, maybe the corona is the one we got to be concerned about.
What do you think?
First of all,
give us actual science.
Yeah. Let me clarify one thing from the flu. The deaths from the flu, at least in the United States, are usually called flu-associated death. So the flu, in fact, some people, because they have already sickness in some other area, mm-hmm. and this caused them to deteriorate. So in this case, flu is a trigger. It could be a fall. It could be, so that all lumped together to be a flu-associated death. So now you have, in fact, if you add all these death cases together, the number could be higher than the actual death. So say there's a person died of, flu-associated symptom. So he could die once. I mean, in terms of statistic, he can die once as a flu-associated death. And he could be counted again as maybe he died of a heart failure, right? And the heart failure could have some other symptoms, so he could be counted three or four times. So. But this coronavirus is different. I mean, they die from this coronavirus because you look at their X-ray, look at the lung clearly. That is the direct cause. All right, so the number we have to understand this number better. So when some people say the flu has caused X number of deaths, right, it's not a direct cause; it's an indirect cause. But still, flu is a disease; it caused death. Right? That there's no denial of that. But the death rate, the flu death rate is much lower. And second, we understand the flu much better. Okay? We don't understand this coronavirus. And so when we don't understand it, the cure is not inside. I mentioned the relapse. All right? There's a second thing we don't understand. The varying incubation period. We still haven't figured out what is the incubation period. There, I think it just yesterday or the day before, there's a German tourist, visiting Egypt. He died from this pneumonia in just a short few days. Okay. And some people die very quickly. Some people have incubation period as long as 50 days. Right? So the very incubation period is another thing that we don't understand, right? And then this virus, now data shows that it doesn't just attack lung. Sure, it attacks the lung, but it also attacks bone marrow, heart, liver, kidney, spleen, brain.
Wow.
And is that different from the regular flu, since I've never actually studied the actual flu?
It's different from many other diseases,
many
other viruses, right? It's like affected so many things, right? And so that is still to be understood. We don't understand how that happened, all right? And then, believe it or not, there's a case of human-to-dog transmission. Now, that may be a rare case, but there is a case. When there's one case, it could be very dangerous, because once you transmit from human to dog, you can quarantine human. But maybe it's a whole set of different problems to control those animals, right?
Sure. Yeah, no, sure. Okay. I mean, how many people in this country have dogs and play catch with them every day and get the dog saliva on their hands? And wow.
Right. And so before this can all be understood and explained, there's another thing. There's a high rate of mutation with this coronavirus. Right? Now, remember, the more replication, the mutation goes with its replication. So if there are more viruses out there growing, the total number of mutation would go up exponentially. So with this high rate of mutation, it could change very quickly and come up with a new phenotype or new infectivity, new damages. So all this added together should caution us against the otherwise normal expectation of a successful development of vaccines or medicine to combat this virus. And that is another thing, probably most severe thing that we should take into account.
Right.
That it could be a while. We don't know. We hope we can get there quickly, but we better be cautious.
Well, yeah, if it's constantly mutating, I mean, how do you build a vaccine against something that mutates so quickly? And I was listening to a talking head the other day, and they were talking about if this virus does mutate and go airborne, that's where we're really going to have a problem.
It's already airborne.
It is airborne. Okay, well, they said that is where it will transmit very quickly. Because I thought he was saying that right now it is transmitted through droplets. So if somebody sneezes or coughs, or it's carried through droplets, which quickly fall to the ground. And so unless you have direct contact with the droplets, you're probably not going to get it. But if it's airborne, you're going to be breathing it. Is that correct?
Well, there are two kinds of airborne. Droplet is airborne.
Okay.
Right. But there's also another type of airborne where it's like almost like it's floating. It's like it's all like a gel.
Mm-hmm.
Where imagine Jell-O, right? And something you put there, it was suspended. It wouldn't go down to the bottom. It wouldn't sink. So if you picture the droplet would sink to the ground, right? Imagine something that keep it afloat, and that is the second type of airborne, mm-hmm. right? But this transmission of this coronavirus is more than that. So it's already found that where your hand touch, say, toilet. Toilet has a high count of virus. People already found that out, right? When you use a public toilet, that could be
sure.
That could a source of infection. So touch, right? And that's why doctors tell us to wash our hands extensively, right? And so the point is.
Bill's despondent. He doesn't see any way out now.
Yeah. I'm doomed.
my brother-in-law's learned how to do almost anything in a public bathroom with his feet. He's just really pretty limber. he can do almost anything with his feet. Bill, however, is not quite as limber. He's doomed.
So even if you can do with your feet when you go home, will your shoes carry the virus to your home? No, I'm not trying to make it worse than it is.
Okay? I think I'm going to leave Bill at the studio. This is not
looking
good.
I'm not trying to make it worse than it is. I'm just making a cautionary note that until we understand this virus, we shouldn't be holding our breath for a speedy discovery of cure. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, right. And they were saying that as well, that this virus, because of, so much is unknown about it and because it's mutating, this isn't going to be like the flu you get during flu season. This could be something that sticks around all year round.
It's the lingering flu.
So, yeah, that would make it a little bit more dangerous.
I hope not, but, we cannot be wishful.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's getting ready to make a run on the Purell factory. He's over here using it like it's going out of style.
So with that, I want to go back to the thankful part.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll come back with good news. Momentito. Quick break. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
So if you are using hand sanitizer, I heard that it has to be at least 60% alcohol. I know there's a lot of alcohol-free hand sanitizers out there. Do they help?
I am not sure.
That's a hard pass.
Yeah.
I
just go with the alcohol.
I heard yesterday there was a vodka manufacturer that was putting out a warning that they didn't have a high enough alcohol content to kill germs.
Yeah.
Just an interesting reason to advertise for a vodka manufacturer. So you had some kind of
some good news.
Was it good news?
Oh no! I wasn't.
No good news today.
I was saying, I want to go back to China. Want people to be thankful for. I want to go back to that topic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
The dangerous topic.
The near brush with good news.
Said, how dangerous that is. All right. So, in fact, inside China, the CCP has already, in Wuhan, where the epicenter is,
mm-hmm.
the party boss of Wuhan already order or demand or force people to be thankful to the CCP. Right. And so that, goes with what Erica just said, it wants the world to, follow its model, right? What has China done? What has the CCP done? Have they come up with the vaccine? What have they have come up with the medicine? Right? The only thing they have done to the world is to waste a good month, at least good month, before informing the world what's going on. And get this outbreak out of control. Right? That's the only thing. And yet, what I want to impress our listeners, right, is if the world, if international society does not forcefully intervene when it still has a chance, the CCP will make the world to watch it lock down one city after another, generate humanitarian disasters in those cities, and then in the end effect the genocide of their own residents, all using this virus as its weapon and excuse. Now, let me lay it out why this is so, right? While we have not figured out any cure or defense against this terrible virus, the CCP has already forced the Chinese people to go back to work. And this has already backfired in several cities and caused community spread. Community spread is a term where it's a, you know, it just spread through the community, through people getting together, right, infect each other, right? And so this barbaric measure will eventually lead to the second or a multitude of waves of infection in China. And then the CCP will take advantage when, you know, all countries are busy with their own struggle against the virus. And whitewash its own problem inside China until it get out of hand, just like, you know, China was trying to suppress the initial information on this coronavirus until it got out of hand. So this theme is going to repeat again until that problem, that the multitude wave escalate into humanitarian crisis. And eventually it will develop into a widespread genocide. Let me explain the genocide, okay? You know, when we think about genocide, we think about, you know, killing of a whole people of different race. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's a killing of a large group of people. Now inside China, the people of Wuhan, people living in Wuhan, associated with Wuhan, they are right now being discriminated around China. They're rounded up, they're chased out, right? And so migrant workers inside Wuhan now, they're trapped in Wuhan. They have little resources. Some are forced to, you know, part with what they essentially need, and there's some are already exchange with their cell phone for food. Think about that. Once they run out of everything and die, their immediate family wouldn't know what happened to them because they can't communicate with them. Right. There's no communication. There's no information. Right. So on February 18th. Okay. I could be wrong with the date, but I remember February 18th. The CCP, the central government, announced the party's concern for Wuhan people and mobilized 40 mobile incinerators for medical waste and animal bodies. Moved 40 of those incinerators into Wuhan. Right. And as a show of the CCP's support for Wuhan people, what the world didn't know is that 40 incinerator amounts to the capacity of burning. You can calculate from the tonnage, and it amounts to the ability to burn through 3,333 average human bodies.
I knew you were going to say that.
And then with the incinerators or the mortuary capacity inside city, it can process through 5,000-6,000 human bodies. Now, the Nazis even have to hide their incinerator in concentration camp. The CCP publicly reported, publicly announced it as a favor, as a favor from the CCP to Wuhan people. Think about that. Right? So it's massive killing, massive deaths at least going on. If the world do not get together and forcibly intervene. Now, I understand that they're all busy with their own fight against this disease. Now, if the terrible thing is that China holds a lot of the materials, product material, and China claims it to be the world factory, right? So it holds the production chain, the bottom part of the production chain. And if the Chinese production, the Chinese people are decimated, what will the world do? What will happen to the world? China, say, for example, holds 3/4 of the material for making over 300 kinds of 300. There was a number. There was over 300 generic medicine around the world. If they stop making those, what would happen to the world?
Oh yeah, we've already we're already starting to experience that. I was hearing the other day that a lot of the generic drugs are starting to become in short supply because so many of them are produced in China, and we've
the main components, critical components,
come from there, and so it's going to affect us.
The part is it doesn't have to be critical. It could be not critical.
That's true.
It still wouldn't. You know, you still cannot make a medicine from it.
That's true.
Right? For sure. So this is the time that the world get together, not to get individual. The world needs to think about getting together and stop the problem from its root, and the root is the CCP.
Yeah.
You okay? You have something to add?
The humanitarian disaster is already taking place. We are not hearing much of that because those transient workers who went to coastal cities at the urge, as demanded by Beijing. They went to, by the way, the hotel collapsed. It is along the coast. It is across from Taiwan. And these coastal cities, they are engaged in labor-intensive production, and they need these workers to go back. However, because of the threat of the community spread of the virus, and these local officials, they are not able to handle the inflow of so many people.
Terrific. We'll pick that up on the other side of the break. We've got a news break coming up. Join us online at We the People Radio. You can find all our archives and everything at wethepeopleradio.us. And we're back. Second hour of We the People. You can find everything about our program at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. You can get everything you need in small tractors and turf equipment at Pape Machinery. They've got zero-turn mowers, riding mowers, push mowers, you name it, they've got it. And they have a whole lineup of compact tractors by John Deere in stock and ready to go. Go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just south of Phil's Propeller. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or on the web at Pape Machinery. Oh, there is more.
You're like a... Who's that guy? Wait, there's more.
Wait, there is more.
I don't know. He had a heart attack, though, didn't he? He was very stressed. Yeah, you shouldn't be that guy.
Or you can get him online at papemachinery.com. Thank you for that.
I have so much help.
Oh, you are really, really.
I love helping with the commercials. Really, I don't want to really do them. I just want to be the helper.
Yeah. Okay, so there we are, and we are.
Okay, so this is part two.
Part two.
Part two of part two, I guess. This is the second half. We're talking about the coronavirus. Well, everybody else is too, but They're kind of just talking about, you know, the like the virus itself. We've done a little bit of that, but our guests today are Dr. Shizong Chen and also Eureka Young. And Dr. Chen is a microbiologist, and Eureka Young, well, they both are basically experts in U.S.-China issues. They both come from China and know a lot about the culture there and the corruption of the Chinese Communist Party. You'll hear us talk a lot about the CCP. Actually, you're hearing that a little bit more in the news and whatnot, and that is the Chinese Communist Party. That's who runs China. And on our site at wethepeopleradio.us, there is a tab at the top marked China. We've got shows stretching back. Let's see, I can tell you, it was 2018, near the end of 2018 when we started this, not knowing we were going to have a, you know, pandemic flu situation. But in November of 2018, we started exploring what was going on over there and the manipulations and all those things that happen that I think Americans should be aware of, because as we get information from China, if you have knowledge of how China operates, you start to hear all those things differently. So, guys, go back to the CCP, or I guess that's kind of where we were headed, and their manipulations of these things and what... You got to realize most people don't know this, I guess.
Right. Even from news reports like a hotel collapsed, there's a lot to just the word collapse, because these government officials, they have their relatives, right, to as like real estate developers. So they throw in a low bid, and they got the contract. And then there's a lot behind the word hotel. Why a hotel collapsed nowadays? Because these officials, they had this relationship with the hotel. They charge exorbitant fees for local residents and those transient workers who could not even afford to be quarantined in the hotel. So there is all this dirty laundry between just these two simple words. And people like us, we live in the West. If we did not have previous experience in China, if we didn't have spent decades living there, we would think, oh, it's just a hotel collapses, right? We wouldn't see so many hidden things. These transient workers, when they returned to the coastal cities to find a job, they would be quarantined. I'm not sure whether this hotel was for quarantining.
That's what I heard. It was a quarantine center.
Yeah, but they would be charged for every day that they stay in the hotel. And these hotels, they have connections with the government officials.
Oh, terrific.
Yep. And those who are in Wuhan, they're even in those transient workers who are trapped in Wuhan. They're in a more dire situation because Wuhan is the epicenter, and they would not be able to go to a grocery store to buy food. And China has this very strict organization. There's the city level, there's the district, then there's the sub-district, which is also known as neighborhood administration level, then there's the residential committee, then there is these living quarters, gated communities, or like grouped households. There are these strict hierarchy of management. One has something that we never heard of in the West. We call it a household registry. We have to have that household-like registry. Without that, we will not be able to find a job. We go to a different city. And these transient workers are kind of, they're migrating from places. So there is some loosening up as command economy was gradually turning into semi-market economy. But what these people, they do not belong. They're from other cities. About 5 million of them trapped in Wuhan, and many more people who are returning to coastal city. They do not belong to this household registry management system. So in Wuhan, in the epicenter, they're not able to go into a grocery store because now they only do wholesale business. They package food at the grocery stores and send it out to residential districts, to residential committees. So only organized residents who have their residency in Wuhan will be able to buy food. That's how how terrible they are. They have no, they couldn't afford to stay in a hotel. They could not, they basically just live on the streets. And now those who have not turned in their cell phone in exchange for food in coastal cities, they text the messages back to their fellow countrymen, they're in the countryside, telling them not to come in. You would be facing quarantine, which you cannot be able to afford, and it will be, there would be no job because the factories are not running in full capacity, and we have noticed the disruption to the supply chain here. There is also disruption in supply chains within China.
So no
many
food.
Factories missing. Yeah, there's like upstream, downstream factories. They're missing pieces and they're missing parts and components. So things, people are not able to restore to work this, regardless how the central government wanted them to go back to work immediately. So things, situations are really getting quite bad.
So I guess this, why do bad people do anything? But why are they requiring that they go into a city that's got quarantine where they will have no place to stay, they won't be able to leave, and they'll be trapped there?
Yes, different. These party officials, they report to their superiors. So the top leaders, the top leadership, if they figured China's economy is at stake, and they set up this macro economic policy that we need to restore production, resume work. So they set this tone. Then all the propaganda machines started spinning, and they're saying this city has zero, right, case, newly reported cases. Then there are cured patients, so to attract people to go back. And then local officials at the top level, they report to the central government. They wanted people to come in and work. But then there is this malfunctioning of CCP leadership. It is kind of following the model of failed country already in front of this virus, while WHO was singing their praises, like other countries need to follow this model. We see a huge disconnect there, and this is really a perceptive observation of yours to raise this question. Different levels of governments, they are not like working like in concert. They are trying to do their own things at each level, driven by their own motives and by their own career goals. So that, and none of the officials, they really care about the life or death of these transient workers, these vulnerable groups in China.
Well, for anybody who's ever read Animal Farm, I guess be a nice example of some of this, and I think most of us had to read it like in the eighth grade, but honestly, that's a complete disregard for their citizens. I mean, they're literally just a commodity to be used and thrown away. That's got to feel awesome. We're going to come right back and continue on this topic because, yeah, I think it is worse than that. You are listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Too much money. Who would have thought a sassy song from the 70s would work well on a show about a virus?
Yeah, CCP has no regard for the population, and I think that's where we were going when we got interrupted. So let's pick that back up with...
I think it was Eureka. Were you starting to pipe in there?
Yeah, I was saying worse. It's worse than animal farm. Do you know how SARS 2003 disappeared? I mean, it eventually did appear, but in China disappeared first. It's the same model that it disappeared in China, the coronavirus. Okay, so lately there's some official policy or document leaked out. So there's a leadership change in Wuhan, in Hubei, right? So once the new leadership came in and they mobilize people and do a checkup of the, basically the current status, okay? They instilled some kind of a show, some kind of fake policy, and then they give the city officials a deadline, and then, okay, so we have cleaned up our act at this point. Now we have cleaned the city. From now on, whichever district, just like, Eureka City, it broke down to district, sub-district, so it get down to, neighborhood, okay? Whichever neighborhood or district or sub-district, if you find a new case of infection, you will be held accountable and you will be fired. So that's how they make the new cases disappear. And that was how SARS disappeared in China ahead of the world back then in 2003.
So it just wasn't reported.
If you ever report it, you'll be fired.
So just like when you're a kid, you can break things, and as long as you hide it, under the Davenport or whatever, and your folks don't find it, it's not really broken.
Right.
God.
And so
things never change.
So when they have this kind of policy, right, and they wanted people to go back to work, of course, because having people going back to work tied to his own job, I mean the official's own job, they'll get people to go to the city. Whether they'll be the city to die or whether they really can work, it's none of his consideration, right? So the humanitarian disaster is none of his consideration. And so that's why I say the world's people, now we need to demand WHO to return the 20 million that Chinese government just give to WHO. Force the WHO to return this money and earmark those money to Wuhan to solve the food problem in Wuhan first. And WHO have no business to receive those, urgent funds that will save lives. You are not saving lives. You're just, extracting, resources from China. And so I want to go back to the humanitarian disaster and genocide, and this is real. I mean, some people may think you're just blowing things up, blowing things up out of proportion. No, the CCP has a history of man-made atrocities through locking down the Chinese people. People probably have not heard of locking down Changchun. That's in 1949. The whole Cultural Revolution period when millions of high school graduates were sent to countries, that's a form of locking down, not allowing them to go back to the city. But I want to specifically give details of history's greatest man-made famine in China. Whole history. But it happened in China in the winter of 1959 to 1960, okay? That summer, China had a harvest. Food is not a problem. But the government confiscated all their food, all their rice, and so in the winter, in that winter, 48 to 60 million starved to death. That means starved to death.
And they had the food.
They had a food. Right. The generally accepted number is 30 million, which was calculated from various sources of CCP's records. I mean, of course, we are now that it's the record is problematic. Mr. Chen Yizi, okay, he is a top advisor to China's former premier Zhao Ziyang. He told me in person, I remember it was 1992, the year was 1992, when he told me in person that when he was in charge of China's agriculture reform in the late 1970s or in early 1980s, he organized a clandestine investigation of this man-made famine and concluded that the most conservative estimate of the death toll was 48 million. And a reasonable wow. estimate was 60 million. But,
holy cow.
Okay, what I want to tell people here is that a large number of people would have survived if they were not locked down in their villages, but allowed to go out into the wilderness to forage. But the picture or the image of people going out to wilderness to forage for food would be a damage to the glorious picture, glorious achievement of the CCP. So they were locked inside the villages, die inside the villages. And so this is a genocide of villagers. And this, it's the world people do not get to learn it. Okay? Now this could happen in Wuhan. Next could be happening in Hangzhou. And could be happening in one city after another. So, Eureka was talking about failed state. And for someone, I took note of the failed state concept, back in 2007-2008. Even for me, who are familiar with this concept, it's an eye-opener for me this time with the pandemic, with this coronavirus. And I start to realize a new concept. I mean, there's no word to describe it, but I attempt to use it, the word counter-government. It's, you know, there's a failed government due to incompetence or whatever reason or greed or whatever. But the CCP, from the get-go, it's a counter-government. It's not meant to govern. It's meant to be destructive. So I don't know a proper word. I maybe the closest is a counter-government. So when we talk about crimes against humanity, right? So we're talking about bad people killing good people, or bad people just killing a large group of people, right? And but those are people, right? But when we're talking about CCP, I don't know whether it's crime against humanity. It's born to be destructive force against humanity to begin with. So
it isn't like something that was supposed to be good and has been manipulated for evil.
Right.
It was actually set up to be evil.
Yeah. So let me. The analogy is virus. Okay. To a biologist, virus is alive. But virus cannot live on its own. With no livestock for it to feed on, virus sit there doing nothing, right? But once a virus get into a cell, the sole purpose of the virus that it can be called alive is then it now kicks in the mechanism to take over the cell that it has infected and uses all its resources to duplicate a cell and to destroy a cell. And once a cell is lies or killed, the virus will sit there doing nothing until there's a next cell to feed on. So virus, we biologists call it, we acknowledge that it's alive, yet it's everything against life. Think about that concept. And then that I think that is what we have to think about the CCP.
Yes. And the bad part is you can't even file like freedom of information requests or any of those things because they absolutely don't tell the truth. We've got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guests, Dr. Shizong Chin and Eureka Young. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, so for people who haven't maybe listened to the show before or are just tuning in on the AUN network, we're on channel 23, actually, in Reading. So if you're just tuning in to the shows that are airing on the television side of things, you've missed all the setup to this topic of China. I would encourage you to go to the web at wethepeopleradio.us and click on the China tab and look at it. I mean, if you're thinking, well, these guys are just biased, you know, they just don't like, you know, the Chinese government and they're, you know, biased. Go on there and listen to some of the other guests and especially tune into the ones about the forced organ harvesting, because I would submit that any government that would forcibly harvest, and we're not talking part of your liver. I mean, it's like part of your, it's your whole heart, your lungs, like organs you need. And they either incinerate you or send you home in a body bag missing pieces. Any government that would do that for no reason other than you disagreed with them politically or you practiced religion and they don't want you to, or basically you disagreed with them. Any government that would do that in 100 to 200,000 people a year, we've heard a variety of numbers. I think based on everything we keep learning, it's probably higher than that, but if they would do that, I think sky's the limit. They would do almost anything.
Oh, they'll do that, yeah. Absolutely.
So I was going to ask you guys, so people are watching, you know, most of us don't speak Chinese, don't read Chinese, so you're a little bit limited on what you can dig into on the web and what you get on, like, radio or TV or whatever. I know the Epoch Times does a terrific job of reporting on all these things. Any other things people should be looking for or I guess maybe aware of as this whole virus thing keeps going?
There's also a ChinaScope.
Oh, I forgot about
website.
That. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, ChinaScope, ChinaScope. And there is a hot topic at this point devoted to the coronavirus mostly. And I hear you, and I was thinking the same thing that, you know, some people may think, you know, hearing me or Eureka and think, well, you guys are just complaining. What do you suggest us to do? I mean, what positive message you can bring us? Well, so I want to, there's a 20 plus minute I want to talk about that. Right. So, the reason we try to educate people about communism, about the CCP is so that people can distance themselves from the CCP, from communism. And that, I believe, will distance themselves from the virus. Okay? And this may sound unscientific, but let me give a perspective. I have asked numerous people, I asked them, well, is your health a pure physical phenomena or is somehow related to your mind, to your spirit? Of course, they all say, certainly it's connected to our mind, yes, right? But our physical health has measures like heart rate, our oxygen content, our blood level, all those that we can measure our physical health, right? And there are also physical exercise we do to improve our physical health, running, swimming, all that. And there's also healthy diet. There are practices that we know to improve our physical health. Now, if we say our physical health is connected to our spiritual health or mental health, are connected to our physical health, then what is the measure of our mind health or mental health or spiritual health? And what then are the practices that doctors can recommend so we can do the mind exercise, the mental exercise, the spiritual exercise, so we would be healthy? Well, those are the sick, you know, those are not known, right? But instinctively, we know that they're connected. And then that's what I'm building on. Right? If this terrible coronavirus that we all know now is closely related to communism or the CCP, right, then it goes that if we distance ourselves from it, then we're safer. And the distancing part, to me, is a healthy mental exercise or spiritual exercise that we make ourselves a better person. We don't succumb ourselves to the bad things associated with the communism. And that's why I say, you know, now is the time for the world to think, other people, to think the world as a whole, not as just as individual. Right? And so here is something that counterintuitive maybe, right? I'm advocating a international, joint effort or a coalition, whatever, okay? And we need to get rid of, cut out WHO, put them aside, you know, we need an independent international effort to stop this. And there may be resistance to that now, but counterintuitively, I think the ones that are closest to the CCP, to China now, may be the first one to fold, to change their stand. Why? Because they are the ones most dependent on Chinese government's supply of funds, just like WHO just received 20 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
The North Korea, Venezuela, okay? Once their money dried up from China, right? Once China's economy takes nosedive, their money will dry up. Well, they will be the first one to, change their stand. And also, if you look at a map, if you are familiar with the Belt and Road Initiative, the Belt and Road Initiative is basically those countries that receive funding from China, right? Those countries are the hardest hit by the coronavirus right now. And that's why I say, you know, distance yourself from communism, and you'll be safer. And I think those countries will be the first ones to change their stand, and hopefully in time the world will wake up and all stand up, demand a better solution for the world.
Do you think the CCP is worried about having the eyes of the world on their every move right now?
Yes, and that's exactly why they force people to go back to work. Now, it wouldn't succeed. All right, there's two topics, okay? Why they force people to go back to work and why it wouldn't work, okay? So, as I have said and as Jörg has said, you know, that regime do not care people's lives. You know, whether their own people have money or to live on or they have food is not of their concern. But what they're really concerned of is their world support from those problematic regimes like, you know, Cuba, Korea, North Korea, Venezuela, all those. And if that regime cannot continue to extract money from the Chinese people and then pump them to their supporters, it's going to fall apart. It's going to fall flat. And that is their first concern. And that's why they're forcing people to go back to work. But it would not work. Why? Because if you need 10 parts to make a product, if one factory cannot produce it, then you can have 9 other factories running full time. It will not make anything. This coronavirus is paralyzing parts of China, and it takes is for it to paralyze part of China, it's going to paralyze whole China, and paralyzing whole China will paralyze the whole world, right? Maybe to not the same extent, but still, it's a major problem to the world, and that's why world market is reacting to it. It's not that the whole world is affected as China is now, but the production chain threatens to be broken, starting from China. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that should concern everybody, this whole global economy idea.
And the only way for them to get together, or to get out of this, is for them to get together, demand and dissolution of the CCP, and give the world that, only that will give the world a chance to recover.
Well, you're not just educating people in the United States. I don't know what made me think of it, but I was looking up the statistics on our website, probably because I got an email that said somebody tried to access it from another device and that I may have a security problem. Apparently the Chinese aren't happy with us again. But I thought I would look at the statistics for the last few weeks since we've been covering this topic, and 46% of our online access has come out of Singapore.
Wow.
Yeah, 23% has come out of the United States, and the rest is divided up around the world. But 46% out of Singapore.
Yeah, I hope them help to get our words around.
I think it's actually helping a whole lot. And I guess I didn't say anything at the very beginning of the show, but I do need to mention that the archives for the program are always listed on our website commercial-free. They are an MP3 file. You are free to do whatever you want with them. There is no copyright issue or any of that. You can post it to social media. You can share it with a friend. You can put it on a flash drive and make copies of it. I don't care if you sell it and raise money for your group. But get this information out to people because they really do need it. And these guys do a great job of sharing with us at, I'm sure, no small risk to themselves and their families. So we have to take a really quick break. We'll come back with our guests. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong.
fine for now, but that changes. Okay, guys, we've got plus or minus 10 minutes. Have we missed anything? Obviously, this is a massive topic. We could talk about it.
One thing we didn't really touch on.
I
wanted to say one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the things that is happening is with all the coronavirus people in the hospitals and in the clinics and so forth, you have a ton of people that require regular medical care, that have cancer,
exactly,
you know, all these other things that are being treated on a regular basis and now can't be seen. So that's another impact, isn't it, that is going to hit as a result of the coronavirus.
Erica, you want to speak on that? Erica spoke a little bit last week also.
This situation was particularly severe in Wuhan, where hospitals even kick the people out of hospital in their cancer treatment, I believe even a newspaper in Hong Kong affiliated with Beijing, South China Morning Post, they published a report. Someone with a mother taking her young daughter to trying to cross a bridge to go to a neighboring province, a larger hospital, to treat leukemia for the young girl. But then back then she had to beg those security guards to let her and her daughter to go through. Then the security guards wouldn't budge. Then she said, I did not have to go through, just let the kid go over there. It took a larger hospital to treat her daughter's leukemia. And eventually, the guards let the mother and daughter go, but that was prior to the lockdown of numerous provinces and the cities in China. So this disaster, it has been silenced. And recent reports across social media coming out from Wuhan showing people jumping off buildings. And before, we weren't sure why these people were jumping off the buildings. Because these are nice buildings. They are supposed to, they have their neighborhood community, not that residential community, who would do the wholesale, right, to bring food to the buildings. They are not like transient workers. Later, it turned out, in the recent days, these are the people who would not be able to go visit the doctor, and their medicine, they got 7 days or 10 days of additional medicine supply, but that ran out. And public and the private transportation had been shut down, and there is no way that they could even walk outside the building. There's no way, even if they were allowed to walk, it would have took too much strength,
right,
for them to walk to the hospital. So they jumped off the building just to end their lives.
Oh,
so this is really, really bad. And going back, this virus, the outbreak, is a turning point. Actually, it's turned a long time ago, according to Dr. Chen, even in 2003, they started killing off people to stop the number from climbing. But this outbreak led the world to see what is happening. And the CCP is apparently on its decline. Now it focuses on how to continue to hold on to power rather than how to serve and save people's lives. And
that's what always happens.
Property.
Yep.
And there is in economics, there's a term called roving bandit. So now that is what the communist regime has descended to. In comparison to stationary bandits, although they are bandits, right, they still want to build a stable tax base so they could live off these people that they are ruling over. But once it descended to a roving bandit, its only incentive is to steal, to pillage, to destroy, and send their sons and their mistresses and their illicit children overseas. So this is what is happening in today's China.
Hunger Games, for real.
Yeah. So
And we're looking as a society at just having a little bit of socialism, you know, because it'll work out better here than it does everywhere else. I hope people are paying really close attention.
Yeah. I started out our last week's program by stating that Wuhan pneumonia pandemic forever ended the CCP's threat of world expansion and aggression, but began an even more terrifying time when the CCP will drag the whole world down, the whole world to sink down with it through its death and decay. And this is a situation, well, the world has gone through terrible times, right? We went through World War II. We went through the Cold War. And, you know, we faced terrible regimes like Hitler and Stalin. But even in those difficult times, when a regime fails and or defeated, that ends, right? The World War II ends when Hitler dies, and the Cold War ends when the Soviet Union broke apart, right? That's the end of it. But what we're facing now is the CCP is for sure, defeated. It will no longer be able to deceive the whole world anymore. But still, in its ending stage, dying stage, it's a even more threatening regime than ever. It's still threatening Hong Kong. Maybe, Erica, again, you have more information, Hong Kong and Taiwan situation?
In Hong Kong, they... it is appalling that the executive, the number one lady in charge of the Hong Kong government, she reported to Beijing that this virus, the outbreak, would help her administration to crack down on the protesters, because now, like, people are not supposed to be gathering, right? So the police continued to attack and beat, and the most recent video footage that came from Hong Kong showing that they would twist and try to break the teenagers they already held down onto the ground, trying to break his arm and the legs before they really drag him away and throw him into the police vehicles. So the police violence, the police brutality are escalating in Hong Kong, and the world really need to draw a line clearly, because there is international agreement, right, how Hong Kong need to be continue the way it was, and how their freedom need to be respected, and the U.S. and the Canada and United Kingdom and the Commonwealth countries, they all have a stake in Hong Kong, and they not only have financial stake, they also have this responsibility and their commitment to Hong Kong people. And this is, and then also I'm glad to see United States is extending more support to Taiwan. Still, Taiwan had been excluded from attending panel hearings in WHO. Now we're circling back to where we started with. Now we see the influence of Beijing, their influence in these international organizations they're trying to suppress. They took people in Taiwan and Hong Kong the same. They are going to treat them the same as they're treating people in Wuhan. They did not allow people from Taiwan to be withdrawn, to be evacuated at the outbreak. Eventually, when they did allow, they put a lot of people who are not Taiwanese onto the plane, and Taiwan authorities will not even be able to identify who these people are. So that is what is happening. And I hope it is time that the international community would try, as Dr. Chen pointed out, to form a sort of coalition to stop this disaster from spreading further, from spreading across the boundary of mainland China into Hong Kong, Taiwan, and other parts of the world.
Well, and based on what you told us earlier, if we see that the WHO, the World Health Organization, is still sort of in charge or at the forefront, we'll know that real solutions aren't really coming.
They're not coming.
Wow. I know we always end these shows. Wow. Gotta thank you guys for all of your great information. We really, really appreciate it. We're doing our best to get smart about all this. It's something you've lived for years, and we're way, way behind the information eight ball.
You know, if you get new information, keep us posted, and we'll definitely get it out to the folks.
I'm positive we'll be chatting with both of you soon. Dr. Chen, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much for coming.
You've been listening to We the People. We thought we'd send you out with some happy music. It's all you're going to get. It's all the happiness we got today.
And the dream that you did to, oh, why?